DW, the 77%.
Hello and welcome to the 77% show, your choice for all the stories touching on Africa's youth. From Ghana's capital, Accra, I am Crispin Mwakideu.
And I am Isaac Kanleji. Thanks for tuning in.
My African lips, them gon' kiss you.
Whether we realize it or not, Africa's young generation is caught up in a battle for its heart and soul. On one side, there is the promise of a better life, prosperity, and a secure future.
But on the other side, vigilante, militant, and even terrorist groups are keen on recruiting and radicalizing the African youth so they can be used as pawns in political and religious extremism. Alfred, a youth leader in Kenya's coastal city Mombasa, has been sharing his take on youth radicalization.
The reality is radicalization cannot fully be eliminated. What can be done is, of course, reducing it to a certain level. Because the unfortunate thing is many of us look at radicalization from only the terrorism angle. But again, radicalization, if you adopt extreme beliefs when it comes to your political views, you're also radicalized in a way. If you adopt extreme beliefs when it comes to religion, you're also in a way radicalized. So if you look at it from all those angles, you'll realize that radicalization in itself cannot be fully eliminated. The government is trying its best to include youths, especially in all the initiatives that it does. Inclusion is a process. And as youths, I would say, where we were 5 years ago, you cannot compare to where we are currently. If you look at the different initiatives, currently you can even sit with the county, like whatever is happening now today, the county commissioner can come to Mashinani and share a platform with all of us. Before, it could not have been the case before. It was a bit difficult even accessing some of the offices. Mm-hmm. Currently, you'll find that even if you have an idea, although it is not fully supported, but at least somebody somewhere might give you a listening ear. So for us, for some of us, I would say it is at least a step in the right direction.
Right, that was Alfred, a youth leader in Mombasa. Now, Isaac, what about Ghana? I know we have covered stories from Tamale in northern Ghana on how the government is working with religious leaders there in trying to warn the youth on the dangers of radicalization. You've been out and about in the streets talking to some youth. What did you find out?
Well, it was clear that young people are concerned about some of their colleagues being prone to being recruited by some extremist groups to undertake activities that are dangerous to the country and to society. But these young people say that it is because there are no jobs, there are no opportunities for some of these young people to be engaged, and so they become prone to some of these groups. And their call is that government is able to provide some job opportunities for them to be able to be engaged. They also want religious leaders and people in society to begin to counsel some of these young people about the dangers of joining these terrorist groups. And finally, some of them also spoke about the need for social media and the digital space to be controlled so that we don't have young people being recruited through these means. So let's hear from two of them who I've been speaking to in Accra.
Well, my name is Nana Jantua, a journalist, like I say, broadcast journalist, yeah.
Okay. And what's your name?
My name is Hansau Redwan, and I'm a student.
Tell me, how concerned are you about radicalization and young people being prone to being radicalized?
Well, I think that everyone should be concerned because after the population census was conducted in Ghana, it was realized that the country has a lot of youthful population to provide a major working force for the near future. But the reality is that unemployment situation keeps escalating, and it suggests something. UN, Kofi Annan, ex-president Kufuor and the likes have all expressed concern about the rate of unemployment, which causes a lot of red lights because it is a security threat. Unfortunately, it is coming because everybody, the youth can be induced when there is no thing to do. And obviously, it is normal. I'm not surprised we are seeing a lot of people joining this, you know, illegal groups. But do they have an option? They have little option because those groups may try to lure them into getting a lot of money once they join them. And, you know, they are connected. It's more like a brotherhood. So it is very normal that we would have more people joining. It is for monetary reasons. They need to survive. As aggressive and creative that they want to be, when they are not getting the needed support, when society is not hearing them, they have little option but to join certain groups that would promise them heaven on earth. So I think that the obvious truth is that there are a lot of unemployment situation in the system. They would have to survive. Society put pressure on them. And so any means necessary is what they need to do to survive.
What do you make? You've heard your colleague talk about lack of opportunities. But are you personally worried that you may have people in your school being people who are really prone to joining some of these groups and can do anything in your community?
The problem of, as my colleague said, is about the unemployment issue. Because right now, somebody can come out to the first class upper. It's the first class, second class upper, second class lower, and there's no jobs. And these radical groups, they are there, and many people get some payments or earn something from them. Because you can't join something and fight for them without getting anything. And then I think that the government should come inside and help out so that jobs will be available for students like me who are yet to complete school so that we get work to do in order to prevent these radical groups or in order not to make these radical groups active.
But beyond that, do you see any signal in your community or in your school that shows that people who are thinking differently are no more thinking in a civilized way? They want to do anything, even get to the point of being violent to achieve anything. Have you seen something like that in where you are?
Some people are like that, and others too are not focusing on working for the government. But most people nowadays in the school are always focusing on making their own money, setting up their own businesses and others. That's their main focus right now because it seems to know that the country, there's no job in the country. So when you complete school after national service, if you don't make up your mind or you don't set up something for yourself, you're going to stay in the house.
Okay. In recent time, we've had issues of vigilante groups, young people who are doing nothing and are being used by political parties. You fear that this could be the starting point of people being radicalized and used for violent activities?
Well, it's becoming more attractive. It is how they are brought up. It is the orientation. It is what they are being told. So it is not that they have the intent of causing mayhem, but they become radicalized when they feel that they are being maligned or shortchanged. So it goes a long way to, you know, get them to be in a certain position where they feel that if we do not deal with them harshly or we do not use certain radical means to get what we want, we may be maligned. Okay, so the reality is that we know the problem. And the problem is that they are in because they want certain things for themselves.
You have concerns also about the possibility of young people being radicalized easily because we have groups that are already engaged in violent activities like vigilante groups. You have concerns on that?
Yes, I have a very big concerns about that. Those groups are mostly created by those so-called political parties because in school we have the MDC, we have the MPPs. So in those people, you get those kind of vigilant radical people, and then they'll work for them. At the end of the day, they think maybe you at the end of school, they'll give them job or something. But after they work for them, and at the end of the school, they don't get anything. Maybe they'll plan on doing something harmful to them.
What about social media? We have seen that, yeah, to recruit people, you have to do it one-on-one or through other means. And it appears that many young people are on social media, so it's easy for someone to just message you and say, oh, join this group, we do this and get. Are you concerned about social media and the extent to which people can become prone to these recruitment agencies?
Yes, it's obvious because nowadays most young people are made agents. We like social media a lot, Instagram, Twitter, and other stuff. So when it's being posted, a tweet is being tweeted on Twitter. Oh, we have this group, this, we'll be paid this. And I think I can go and join them and get that money. I'll go. Because I've completed school for like 3 years, 4 years, 2 years, and I'm not getting a job. And I think they are radical though, but I'll get money, so I'll go.
It is very dangerous because now this is where you have most of the youth in there. And social media, in terms of the patronage, it's mostly the youth. And so right now, you don't need to even speak to them one-on-one. It's just one. And, you know, it is becoming more lucrative. So obviously, social media has its own positives and negatives. And one of the negatives is the fact that you can easily influence the youth through that. And I am sure that most of the people who watch how these things run, how it turns out to be, at the end of the day, he feels that, okay, so why don't I take advantage and also join the group? Because after all, I'm going to benefit, especially when I know that I have a certain body that can scare people. So you cannot rule social media. So if it is not well managed, and that is why I'm so happy with the recent stance by Facebook managers to get off certain radical people off the social media. So I feel that social media can be well managed in such a way that if anybody tries doing anything funny, it can be blocked to avoid people getting attracted to this kind of untoward behavior.
What can you say about solutions?
Okay, the security agencies should be very, very tight. We have pastors, we have the sheikhs, we have the malams. So I think when pastors get closer to those people and tell them right thing and inspirational thing, I think it will change them. And then the sheikhs too should get closer to people they think they are in their mosques that are radical or attending radical. They should get closer to them and talk to them very nice. Because I think when you go closer to someone and talk to the person in a nice way, whatever the person is doing, he or she will stop.
It's very simple. There has to be a serious mentorship program. We don't have it mostly in Ghana. The youth have a lot of challenges, but who to go to? So it is important that we set up this mentorship. You understand? And then somebody must provide leadership from the presidency down to the people who matter, must provide that kind of leadership. You understand? And then we need to consciously work on what the chapter 6 of the Constitution says, creating an enabling environment for entrepreneurship, for creativity, for innovation, for the use of IT, because this is what the youth stand for. Once you create that kind of enabling environment, they have work to do, they have alternative livelihood, and then it goes a long way to help us mitigate this radicalized philosophy that is really becoming the order of the day. I think that we need to create an enabling environment for the youth, listening to them, and let us appreciate their needs. That's the only way we can stop this thing. Other than that, we are joking as a country.
I was speaking to two young Ghanaians about radicalization in Ghana and how concerned they are.
Loving you, Nascam.
Smidge your banks.
Jay, every time, why am I money? Hello, baby, have you sent it?
Oh, wow.
You don't even know what you do to me. If I call a show, I'm moving. Yeah, all I'm gonna get you is karma. I get follow you for back. Baby, you blow my mind. No go lie. See, baby, if you want to leave for Piccoli, no do shakara, no they carry your shoulder. Oh, as you see me so, baby, now because of you I don't go. Oh, see, I don't they go. Want to get for go do in go.
Bado,
left me.
Me, I know they hear you again. It be like your network on the fade. Meanwhile, Rosita, they hello. If you break my heart today, me, I go sharply the place. Carry another baby, give her what she wanting. Smart thing, you done the vex. You done the other Uber. Veronica, cool down.
cool down. See, baby, if you want to leave, oh, Biko leave. Go do shakara, go de carry your shoulder. Oh, as you see me so, baby, now because of you, I don't go now. See, I don't go. What you can so go don't you? See, baby, if you want to leave, oh, Biko leave. Go do shakara, go de carry your shoulder. Oh, as you see me so, baby, now because of you, I don't pull up. See, I don't undergo. What you can so good on you go.
Now, on our Facebook, the 77% debate on youth radicalization is going on. And here's a comment from De Jung Eben. He says, Ghana is number one. Many unemployed youth have fallen prey to recruitment in vigilante or terrorist groups. Hashtag bad, bad, bad.
And Itoru Iroke says, yes, much is at stake and we ought to worry. When our system of governance only values the elites, then we are walking down a wrong path. The common citizen isn't seen to have much to contribute. As a result, the people will be left with no choice than to go about making a living on their own terms. We need social governance. Only then can lives be touched meaningfully.
And a name here which is very difficult to pronounce, Jodeka Zelamonyui Wirtsungnin. The person says, yes, the ones in our English-speaking regions of Cameroon are being radicalized to fighting for secessionist groups of Ambazonia. The cause for the liberation of the English people in Cameroon to have their independent state may be a genuine one, but as of now, we have so many uncountable militia groups who claim to fight for this genuine cause of total independence and liberation of the people, but to a large extent, it is false in regards to their claims.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag.
Right, so that's all we had time for in this week's 77% show. You can listen to this show and previous editions by visiting dw.com/Africa. For more content on the 77%, check out our YouTube videos on DW Africa 77%. I am Crispin Mwakideu.
And I am Isaac Kanleji.
And until next time,
goodbye from Accra.
All I have known, where I got grown, streets we would roam, out of the darkness, I came the farthest, among the hardest survival. Learn from these streets, it can be bleak, accept no defeat, surrender, retreat.
So we struggling,
fighting to eat,
and we wondering,
when we'll be free. So we patiently wait, for that fateful day, it's not far away. But for now we say,
when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh.
So many wars, settling scores, bringing us promises, leaving us poor.